This is The Blade and Beyond with the DC Dynamic Duo. Learn every detail about life on both ends of the knife. And now, live from Washington, D.C., your hosts, board-certified facial plastic surgeon, Dr. Michael Salmanik, and board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Troy Pittman.
Welcome to The Blade and Beyond. This is episode 1, season 2. It is Sunday, September 25th, and we're back. I'm Dr. Troy Pittman.
And I am Dr. Michael Salmanik, and yes, we are back. We took a long-needed, well, we didn't really get a break this summer, but we took a break from the podcast.
Yes, we wanted to build anticipation for the new season.
Yes, we had a lot of idea building and thoughts for this season's podcast, so I'm excited to make it happen.
Yeah, although in the last episode of last season, you said it was the season premiere, which threw everybody off.
I know. When was that? In June?
It was June, yeah.
Something. There was a lot going on, so disregard that. This is the for real reveal of season two, so here we go.
Okay, so summer vacation. We didn't really take one.
Not a full one, not like a 7 or 10 day one, like most people will associate with.
But we did go to Croatia around Memorial Day.
Yeah, so like beginning of summer, we had a cruise that was postponed like 40 times due to the pandemic.
Yes.
So we got to do that. Croatia was awesome. Coastline, gorgeous. I mean, it was kind of everything that I was told it was going to be.
And the best part about it was we were by far the youngest people on the cruise by probably about 30 years.
Oh my, yeah. Well,
so everyone went to bed at 9 o'clock at night and it was like we had our own boat.
I know. Well, Seabourn was great. It was a great cruise line. Yes. Amazing service, but obviously caters to a slightly older demographic, which was fine. We made some friends. We had a great time. It was everything that I needed at that point in what was going on with work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we went on a ton of little weekend trips. So we didn't have like a long vacation, but we had a lot of little vacations.
Montreal.
Montreal was great. We went there with our friends Adam and Steve, yes. Which always makes me laugh because it's not Adam and Eve. It's truly Adam and Steve.
Yeah, we had a good time there. The weather was gorgeous. Montreal is an amazing city. I mean, we've been there before and it always lives up to everything that we hope it will live up to be.
And we had weekends in Chicago, weekends in New York. We got to catch up with our friends. It was really, really amazing.
Yeah, it was nice to get away and just kind of take a little bit of a break, even if it was just for like a 3 or 4 day weekend. It still was a break from the crazy chaos that a lot of times our life is filled with. So
yeah,
I appreciated every minute of it.
And then I think the biggest news of the summer was we had a baby, the new med spa.
Surprise!
Uh-huh. The new med spa opened on June 1st.
Yes.
And we just had the big grand opening, which was amazing. It's a great space. We're super proud of the med spa.
Yeah, we gave it a couple months to kind of work the kinks out, to make sure all the furniture was delivered, everything was to our liking, and then had the grand opening. Was it last week?
Yeah, the grand opening was amazing. We had our VIP patients, our families were there. Your dad came into town. My mom was there. We had Chef Nick Stefanelli make a personal appearance.
I know. He didn't make us any food, but he did make an appearance, Nick.
Yeah.
We forgive you.
It was really a special evening. Kid O'Shea was there.
From ABC 7.
Covering for Good Morning Washington. And Med Spa Monday, we didn't talk about, that was also something that happened over the summer.
It did. Yeah. I mean, we put a lot of effort into that. We loved it. And Med Spa Mondays was on ABC 7.
Good Morning Washington.
Good Morning Washington. And it will actually be continuing this fall, but it was really cool to highlight the unique services that we offer in the med spa. And I think they did an amazing job featuring it and producing the stories.
Yeah, don't you think? It's always amazing to work with the producers of Good Morning Washington, and Kid O'Shea does such an outstanding job. And we initially thought, okay, we're just going to do 4 Med Spa Mondays, and it was going to be like this little special thing. And the popularity of it was so great that the Good Morning Washington producers came to us and said, okay, we want you guys to actually have your own segment once a week. And so starting next month, we're going to be on once a week, kind of a combination of med spa things, plastic surgery things, kind of like the podcast brought to life.
We're going
to
diversify with not just med spa. It is going to be called the Med Spa Monday, but we're going to talk about...
Or Transformation Tuesday.
No, that's true. It is going to... Yeah, forget that we're doing either of those days, but it is going to be a very all-encompassing, very informative. I think some of these segments that we have planned, and I'm not going to tell any of you what they are, you're going to have to tune in, are going to be really cool to watch because they're some of the more common things that people will ask.
And it's educational. I think we're going to debunk a lot of myths on the show. So more coming your way with that. But then back to the med spa. The med spa, in addition to facials and chemical peels, we've really expanded the menu of services a lot.
Yeah, we have. And the main newest thing that I'm most excited about is our hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
We're going to get to that in a second.
I know, but I want to just say I'm most excited about it.
Well, I'm very excited about it as well, but I'm also excited about the relaxation bungalow within the med spa where we have vitamin IV therapy and IM injections. So you could have something as simple as a B12 injection, or you can come in for a hangover. We have the SP Weekender IV, which is kind of a hangover cure. We have an athletic IV, which helps aching muscles, gives you a little magnesium to relax your muscles. So there really is something for everyone. And the massage services with
lymphatic. Wait a minute. Yes. The hydration, people ask about all the time, like, why would I need this? And, you know, you just talked about the drinking thing. But aside from that, the people that travel a lot, internationally, domestically, pre and post travel, it can be very transformative for how you feel when you land.
For sure.
After travel, having experienced that myself, I definitely noticed a difference that I'm more hydrated, I feel less pasty, and a little bit more alert. And it helps me acclimate to the time zone changes and all that are associated with the travel.
For sure, for sure.
Okay.
Lymphatic massage.
Yes.
Which has been really transformative with particularly my liposuction patients and my tummy tuck patients.
Yeah, even the facelift patients have been really liking it.
So, I mean, you know, what's so interesting is people think of med spas as I'm just coming to get a facial or a chemical peel or something like that. That's not really it. We've been able to really cultivate these perioperative services. So a patient gets a facelift, they come in after surgery, they can have an IV to help them with hydration issues, they have their lymphatic massage, and then now we have hyperbaric oxygen, which is going to revolutionize the recovery process.
I feel like we are really embracing the entire term of medical spa.
That's right.
You know, I don't even like to call it a med spa. It is a medical spa that we offer a full range of services. We are very closely monitoring all the services that we provide, which I think is a unique feature to any med spa, quite frankly, that I see, which is kind of loosely monitored. There may or may not be a doctor on premises. Some of the services that they provide really should be monitored very closely by a doctor. So we truly take that to heart and own it.
And we are.
Literally.
We have to give ourselves a shout out because we are the only freestanding med spa in DC that is under the direction of plastic surgeons, which I do think makes us unique. And I think that's important to mention.
It is. So I want to move on back to the thing I'm most excited about, the hyperbaric oxygen therapy. A little background on it, sort of how we came about. So when you and I were in Chicago, we went to visit my old mentor's office.
Dean Toriumi.
Yes. And we talked to his office manager, who's basically his like right arm, right hand, that's been with him for years. And she's like, listen, we've been doing this hyperbaric for quite some time with our post-op patients, and it's been quite transformative.
Yeah.
And so it got us really thinking about it in reading up, educating ourselves about it. And we quickly got excited about it, and it was kind of a no-brainer, and we decided to get one. So,
well, you know, I did a lot of research at Georgetown when I was there on hyperbaric oxygen, but always in a wound healing type atmosphere. So nipple sparing mastectomies, women who had undergone surgery were going into hyperbaric oxygen in order to help with healing, or we were sending patients to hyperbaric oxygen because they had a problem with their wounds and things like that.
Right.
And so what we're offering now is unique because it's really classified as mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is different in the amount of pressure. So pressure is measured in pascals. And to give you an idea, real hyperbaric, like when you put divers in hyperbaric oxygen who have the bends, mm-hmm. they're at 3 pascals or 3.5 pascals of pressure. The issue with that is you can't do those treatments over and over again because it can actually cause free radicals.
It's a lot.
Which is an oxidative stress on the tissues. It can cause cataracts because it allows a sorbitol, which is a byproduct of glucose, to get into your eyes. And so it's not really meant for everyday long-term treatment. With mild hyperbaric oxygen, our patients are getting 1.5 pascals of pressure, and they're also getting about 40% oxygen rather than 100% oxygen. So you don't have to worry about oxygen toxicity. Mm-hmm. Mild hyperbaric oxygen can also actually help free radicals. So it can pair, because you're not overloading the body, it can pair and reduce oxidative stress on the muscles. It can reduce oxidative stress on joints. So what we see with mild hyperbaric is with less oxidative stress on the muscles, your body becomes more efficient at processing glucose. So inflammation is really reduced. The oxidative stress in joints is reduced. So for joint pain, I really think of hyperbaric oxygen as, if you think of a soda stream, you hook up the water, and under pressure, you're forcing CO2 into the water, which makes it fizzy. Most of the oxygen in our body is carried with hemoglobin, which is a protein in our body that oxygen binds to.
It's a carrier.
And that carries oxygen to our cells, but there's a certain amount of oxygen in our own blood plasma. So what hyperbaric oxygen does, just like the soda stream, is under pressure, it's forcing oxygen into the plasma. So the amount of oxygen flowing through our veins that's not bound to hemoglobin is increased.
It's increasing it.
And all of that blood goes to our organs. It goes to wounds.
Your brain.
Your brain.
Most importantly.
So there's really good data to show that it can decrease the progression to certain types of dementia because our brain needs oxygen.
Mm. Yes. Most important. I think that is like such an important feature. It's something that I've been really interested in lately.
Yeah, and I think that for our patients in the practice, one of the things that I'm excited about with this therapy is I really think we can probably get wounds to heal much more rapidly. And this isn't like not even doing it for patients with complications.
Yeah, we don't want to call it a wound. Like your surgical site, that's our goal.
Your incisions, not your scars.
Sure. Well, they're not scars yet. But we want their incisions and their overall tissues that are being manipulated during surgery to heal faster. So that's our primary goal in going into this and why we came up with the hyperbaric, and that we want to encourage healing for those that are interested. And most of our patients, to no surprise, are very interested in getting this therapy.
Well, even patients who are getting laser treatment or a CO2 laser.
Anytime you're creating injury to the skin or under the skin, this can speed up your recovery. And so for sure. we are offering this to, I mean, all of our patients. But aside from post-surgical, which is the primary reason why we got it, people that are very athletic, perhaps training for a marathon.
Recovery.
It enhances recovery, speeds up recovery. It's just good for overall health. You talked about, or I don't know if you mentioned it, but I know we've talked about this in the past, the serotonin release that you can get from hyperbaric treatment.
So I went into the chamber because I was training the staff on how to use the chamber. I was the guinea pig. So for like 3 days in a row, I was in the chamber while they were learning. And it is kind of fun because once you're in there for, I would say probably about 20 or 30 minutes, you do feel almost like you've had a cup of coffee. You feel a little jazzed and kind of giggly. And I do think that as those serotonin, which is the happy hormone, as the serotonin levels go up, you start to get almost like a little buzz with the oxygen. So it really does give you energy.
Now, many are probably at home going, what the hell is this chamber that I'm going to be going in?
Yeah.
And I want to reassure all of you because I am heavily claustrophobic, actually, in these confined spaces. We intentionally we went out of our way to make sure that not only was the chamber roomy, it has a glass top. So it's kind of shaped like a cylinder and you lay in it. We have like a cushion, thinner mattress with a pillow, and it's roomy enough where you can literally bring a book in there.
You can lay on your side.
You could bring your iPad in and watch Netflix, right?
It's exactly like a business class seat.
You answered my call when you were in there.
Yeah, it's like being in a business class seat on an international flight, the lay flat beds.
Yeah, it's really
nice.
It's
that much room. I mean, it's not, you know, you can't do jumping jacks in there. And I hate the word chamber because that makes it sound weird.
Yes.
I like to call it a capsule.
There's
plenty enough room. You can bring your cell phone, you could talk on your phone, you can text, you can really do whatever you want. You can bring a book, iPad.
The treatment's how long?
It's 60 minutes. So it's 50 minutes. It takes about 5 minutes to get to your pressurization. Then you have about 45 minutes at your 1.5 pascals. And then it takes about 10 minutes to depressurize you. And we want to do that slowly so your ears aren't popping and you're not uncomfortable.
Right. And so I'm going to try it this week, I think.
Yeah.
If we have time. And because that's always the issue. So I'd love to try it. I will give you guys some feedback on future podcasts on what my experience was. But seriously, this is such a great treatment. So I encourage you all to go to our website, check it out. And if you're interested in, give us a call.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now it's time for
In the News. All right. So in the news this week.
Well, it's earlier in the month, but we are playing catch up from the summer.
Well, we're playing catch up, so we're just pretending that it's this week, okay? Just go along with me. And this is more for you. It has to deal with breast implant safety, which comes up every so often with the FDA. And so I'm going to turn it over to you to actually give the story.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask my questions.
Okay. So the Cliff Notes version of this is, I think it was September 9th, the FDA came out, which they do every once in a while, with a safety bulletin, basically saying that they have found cases of women with breast implants that have women.
Silicone.
Both silicone and saline that have developed squamous cell carcinoma and, quote, other lymphomas in the capsule or scar tissue around the implants. That's all they said, which was basically like just dropping a bomb.
Yeah.
Because it was eight cases that they're reporting of squamous cell carcinoma and very few cases, like under 30, of other lymphomas. And so we've talked in previous podcasts about ALCL, which is anaplastic large cell lymphoma that's been linked to textured breast implants. That's one of the reasons why Allergan was voluntold to take the textured implants off of the market. And so this is different.
Because squamous cell carcinoma is not a lymphoma.
No, squamous cell carcinoma
is its own cancer.
We see it a lot of times in places of chronic inflammation. And so the problem with this ends up being that the FDA's job is to protect the public from devices and drugs and things like that. And so they're required to give this information out, mostly because we want it to be on the radar screen of other doctors. That if you see something that is odd in a patient with breast implants, it needs further study. But they didn't even, the FDA didn't even think it was a big enough issue that they were opening further studies, that they were requiring that the implant companies do further studies. And it's important to also remember that every device, whether it is a hip replacement, a knee replacement, a dental implant, all of those have had cases of squamous cell carcinoma involved in them, because anytime you have a foreign body causing chronic inflammation, it can lead to squamous cell carcinoma.
Of course.
So that's kind of
so
what
how many
they
cases
said.
Are we talking about here?
Under 30.
30 squamous cell carcinomas over all implants. Granted, there's probably some that are underreported.
Of course.
But how many millions of implants are performed yearly?
So about 400,000 implants are used for cosmetic and reconstructive in the U.S. per year. But 400,000 in the U.S. alone. When you look
at
the rest of the world, it's millions of implants, whether they be smooth implants or textured implants, that are being placed every year. So you're talking about 30, under 30 over the course of history of implants, which are millions of implants.
Yeah, I mean, I love the FDA. I think that it exists for a really good reason. They are a pain in my butt for some of the clinical trials that we do, but it is, again, for the ultimate safety of whatever that we're trying to get approved or is approved. And I did think that this was slightly irresponsible on their part to put this out there, especially given that there are such limited cases of it and there are so many implants that are performed yearly and implants that are out there just over the course of time.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to indict the FDA.
I'm not indicting them. I just think it's like the approach could have been performed a little bit differently, because look at the backlash now that's being caused.
Right. I mean, the problem with these safety reports is the FDA is basically just sending out a press release saying we are aware. Because the last thing that we want is for there to be an issue and have people look back at the FDA and say, this is a protective agency. Why did they know about this and not tell the public? So it is their duty to tell the public. The issue that I have with all of these safety bulletins is that there's never a context given. And so they give this press release, but they don't really say the MAUDE database, which is where they're drawing this data out of, is a database where anyone, whether it's someone with implants, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a hospital or a manufacturer, anyone can put a case. And so if you were to have squamous cell carcinoma around your implants, say, you could make a complaint to the FDA, your implant manufacturer could make a complaint, your doctor could make a complaint. So that's three complaints, and that's three all on one incident. So if you have 30 reports, that doesn't even necessarily mean there are 30 cases.
Right. But also, I think, independent of the FDA, what gets the message that gets told is through the media.
That's right.
And the media can be very manipulative, because they see a storyline and then they go with it.
It's
and
a salacious story.
You know, they should really interview somebody from the FDA, which I don't think they did. They interview plastic surgeons or just some person out there that may or may not be a plastic surgeon, which isn't always a reputable opinion.
That's right.
And so then they go on social media, and it's just overall quite irritating to me.
So the bottom line of this, I mean, I think everyone listening, everybody is thinking like, okay, I have implants. Should I be worried? The answer is no. If you are not having any issues with your breast implants and you have them, you don't need anything. What I think we really all should take away from this is that women with breast implants need to be followed by a board-certified plastic surgeon.
Absolutely.
Who has experience with patients with breast implants, who knows how to do a good exam, who knows how to get the appropriate imaging. If you're not having a problem with your implants, just regular follow-up, getting your mammograms, if those are indicated, that's all you need to be doing. There's no reason to lose sleep over any of these things.
Okay, good. I love that we cleared that up. Now we're going to talk about the research that's ongoing within the office.
It really, by the end of the summer, it was like research, our research division was exploding.
Yes. I've been plotting a lot of ideas over the past several months and trying to, so we have a couple things ongoing, which I'm very excited about.
So tell us about your studies, and I want to hear, for our listeners, maybe they want to be part of the clinical research. So what are you doing and what are we looking for?
Yes. So one of the things that, you know, there's certain things called IITs, which are investigator-initiated trials. So that is literally the investigator writes up a protocol, submits it to a certain company that produces this product, and saying, hey, I want to investigate this. So one of the trials that was approved was injecting a collagen stimulator called Radies. We diluted a certain way, and it's specifically targeting the perioral or the perioral lip lines. So the lines around the mouth.
You know, like smoker's
lines, even if you're not a smoker. A lot of women are predisposed to it if they drink out of straws frequently or whatnot. They tend to be a really, really stubborn area to treat. And this has honestly never been studied worldwide. So this protocol was approved. We started and initiated it, and we've had a robust enrollment, which I'm really proud of, including Carla, who's our clinical research coordinator, has recruited really great patients for the study. So we're still looking for a few more. If you have deeper lines around the mouth, please give us a call and we'll go over the inclusion criteria and exclusion criteria to see if you're a candidate for it.
So if you are a candidate and you enroll into the trial, do you get the treatment for free?
The treatment is free. I know you're going to see some result. I just don't know how much, which is why we're doing this trial. And it only requires, I think it's about 8 months total from start to finish. And it is totally a worthwhile, again, free treatment that we know is going to help. We just don't know how much. So if you think you're a candidate, give us a call.
Okay.
The other one, which is a little bit more involved, but I'm equally excited about, is a new filler that is not yet approved anywhere in the world.
Not FDA approved?
It's not FDA approved. However, this is not a guinea pig type of manufacturing. This is hyaluronic acid filler. This is what most filler out there on the US market and worldwide market is produced as. Except that this filler was designed as specifically a kind of a jawline, very strong filler to sculpt and contour the volume deficiencies along the jawline.
Nice.
So we've been chosen as a site, which I feel that we are very honored to be, to achieve FDA approval for this product. And so if you feel that you have lack of jawline definition, particularly along like the back part of your jaw and like in back of like the jowl that forms, that's the ideal candidate that we're looking for. But there's really not an age limitation as far as a younger patient. So even if you're like a little bit younger and you feel you have no jawline definition, you could still be a really good candidate for this. So
and you're still recruiting patients for that trial?
We are still recruiting patients for that trial. Again, giving us a call, you'll be able to go over the actual study. I'll tell you off the bat, this is a 2-year study. So we're following you for a couple years because we want to see and get the indication that this filler can last for up to 2 years, which I think is amazing.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So those are the two studies. We have several others. I will say that some of the exosome work that we did, the clinical trial work that we did over the summer, got published, which is very exciting in some aesthetic surgery journal.
Yeah.
And so the research is ongoing. There's going to be more projects, more opportunities. So for all you listeners out there, look at our Instagram because we do put when we are recruiting for some of these studies, and they do fill up pretty quickly, as you can imagine, because these treatments are free. And in some cases you get compensation for it. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that is about all the time we have today. We made it through episode 1, season 2. We're officially starting, and we are going to be back every Sunday. We have lots in store over the next couple of months to educate, talk, make you laugh. So be sure to tune in and tell your friends.
And can we talk about my little podcast partner that I've had sitting here the entire time?
I mean, Sophie, our little Chorky, has been sitting on your lap the whole time, and she has really behaved.
I was waiting for her. She's like a buddy in the mic. I was waiting for her to just like chime in at some
point. Yeah, or start humming or something. Yeah. No, she was very well behaved.
She's been so good. Well, anyway, everyone, I hope you have a wonderful week. It's so great to connect with you again, and we have some amazing content this season, so make sure you tune in weekly.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. Follow the docs on Instagram at SomanicMD, at Dr. Troy Pittman, and at DC Dynamic Duo. To learn more about the procedures discussed on today's podcast, visit www.somanicpittmanmd.com. That's www.somanicpittmanmd.com.